WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I want to give a shout out to my friends at MOI for giving me this desk, because I'm sitting right now, and sometimes I'm standing around here. So I just want to give some love and say hi to Dave Nolan and all those folks over there. I got to get him, as well as many others, out to Canton beginning on March 4th for the Maryland Lottery and our Maryland Crab Cake Tour beginning on the east side of Baltimore at Mama's on the Half Shell. We'll be there on Friday, March 4th in the afternoon, almost in time for March Madness. Don Mohler joins us now. We call this segment The Recon, and we're doing this one on the morning where Russia invades Ukraine. I don't know where this is going to go, where you're going to hear this over the weekend or next week or sometime into the future. But Don, you and I have had some, you know, weird, bad mornings here with the Trumpian and the insurrection and various breaking newses and the Fed showing up. Let's see, at Marilyn Mosby's, and before that, the former mayor, Kathy Pugh. So we've had these sort of, I call them Dan Rather moments, when big things happen, you know, in the sports world. It was the day Ray Rice punched his wife in the elevator and the phones are ringing. The world's going to war. And I don't know that, you know, we can talk about baseball, we can talk about the Orioles or Paul McCartney, or we can talk about, you know, whatever we're, Crab Cake Tour, or whatever we're doing. This is something that I and how our country handles it as a leader, I don't think most people in America understand, like, how important this is going to be in the coming years.
Well, it's, yeah, I think you capture it perfectly. And as you frame it for folks, when they're listening to this, it may be a week out or 2 weeks out, and the landscape may have changed. But certainly as we go to record this, I don't think it overstates anything to say that it's the most serious aggressive behavior on the part of a nation since World War II. And I think back, you know, to our relatives who served in that war, and, you know, you think back to the overreach of Hitler. And
well, there's been war in the Middle East all of my lifetime, like, literally, right? I mean,
no doubt about it. A little bit different. Certainly the Arab-Israeli conflict has been about territory, but there's something that feels different about this.
Well, that was religious, though, too. So there's a part of that when religion's involved, all bets are off. But that's a religious conflict. That's not an economic. It is economic, but it is my creator gave me that grant. That's a different argument than we're going to assemble troops and go in to take the land of a sovereign nation. Correct.
That's what feels different about this. And I have not been able to get anyone to give a coherent answer to this, and it's because I don't think there's one. I've asked a number of folks, scholars and others, and no one, including the pundits on all of the cable networks, can answer the question, what's the end game here for Vladimir Putin? And I think that's why you always end up back at the place that we really are talking about an aggrieved ex-KGB agent who's now working with his fifth president, who has never accepted the dissolution of the Soviet Union under Mikhail Gorbachev, you know, back in 1991.
And also a guy who can't feed his people. I mean, he's not really a leader. He's a mafia leader. This is this is about Trump's love of him and what appeals to mafia leaders. Like, literally, this is a mafia move. This isn't about feeding the people in Moscow. This is about him. This isn't about his people.
So many strange components to this, right? There's, you know, I had a former student who I think highly of last night react pretty strongly, and she's a supporter of the former president, react pretty strongly to a statement that I made that don't confuse being a conservative with being a Trump follower or a Trumpist, so to speak, that they're very different things.
Well, you're a history teacher, so they really are. You know, how Trump has humped the flag and usurped the flag that he's American and Biden isn't, and being a good American means being with Putinetsky. You know what I mean? Like, the narrative here over the last 6 years with Fox News, literally with Fox News and with the really batshit, the Bannons and the Pompeos and the Flynns, I mean, the QAnons, the Hillary eats babies, that's batshit. I'm just talking about straight, maybe where Chris Christie would drive or where even, you know, Kasich would drive.
Well, let's pick
any of the other 15 people on that stage 5 years ago when I was in Indianapolis at the combine, literally 5 years ago this week, where, you know, she's bleeding, all that Trump nonsense that happened that night. Every single one of those other leaders had the people in the red hats picked any of those people. Our world here would have been completely different, even if they would have beaten Hillary. And there probably would have been a great question that none of those people would have beaten Hillary. It took completely
different. And I will take you back. And I will publicly apologize to Senator Mitt Romney. I will take you back to the 2012 presidential debates against President Barack Obama, when Romney made the statement in the foreign policy debate that the biggest threat to the world's safety and security moving forward would be Russia. And he was widely mocked. I think Obama was prepared for the comment. And I think his quip was, Mitt, the 1980s have called and they want their foreign policy back. The joke being, you're focused on Russia. They are old news. Well, as it turns out,
At that time, all they were doing was stealing shit on the internet, right? All they were doing now was messing with people's minds a little bit and, you know, messing with MP3s and with copyrights and trademarks and hacking and, you know, cyber hacking. What could that possibly lead to, right? Like, how dangerous can they be? They don't have any guns, right?
So I think candidate Romney understood and saw in Putin someone who could care less about the West, who didn't believe the West had any teeth. And this is what's going to be so interesting now, Nestor. And that is, it is not easy to have teeth and an impact and protect a sovereign nation when you know up front you have no stomach or desire to send troops in. So in terms of defending their nation, the Ukrainian people are on their own. Now, interestingly enough, I heard one of the general talking heads this morning say that believe it or not, in his discussions with the Ukrainian people, what they need are knee pads. And I'm thinking to myself, knee pads, and they are prepared to protect their country. But in order to do it, evidently you're down on your knees. I mean, in a very primitive way, shooting at folks, and they need knee pads because they don't have enough knee pads. So I guess the West can, you know, get tons and tons of knee pads and ammunition and weaponry there. But Putin, I'm not sure that. And we will find out, and hopefully without a lot of bloodshed. I'm hoping that Putin miscalculated the solidarity of the NATO alliance, because one of the things that President Biden appears to have been able to do, which could not have been easy, was to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Obviously, President Trump took 4 years of trying to destroy, embarrass our NATO allies, cozy up to Kim Jong-un and President Xi of China and Putin and Orban in Hungary. I mean, we know that the ex-celebrity.
Leave Duarte out there too. Throw him in there.
Yeah, the ex-celebrity president. I mean, when he commented, I mean, think about this, Nestor, and we chatted with this with Brian Sears earlier of the Daily Record. As we came on the air today, former President Bush issued a blistering statement condemning Putin for the Russian invasion, standing with the Ukrainian people, supporting NATO and President Biden in their effort. A very traditional approach to being an ex-president. The other night, in the world of a Tucker Carlson, the celebrity president praises Putin's going into Ukraine and calls it genius and clever. Now, in this crazy world, if you ever told someone that the Cold Warriors and Republicans for decades were
so listen, the Russians have waged war on this country every single day in the middle of your social media feed. Like it's
correct.
I mean, look at this Twitter bots that happened correct. After the insurrection.
They've done it throughout the West.
And they've done it by funding Republican causes like guns, elections. You know, the anti-Hillary rhetoric, right? Like that really was funded by the Russian government. I mean, the troll farms. I mean, Cambridge Analytica. Just go through any of this. All of it is emanated from, you say, Cold War is over. No, they took it onto the internet and brought it to Middle River in your Facebook feed.
And then you have former Secretary of State, presidential wannabe, should Trump decide to step aside, Mike Pompeo, doing an interview where he talks about his tremendous admiration for President Putin and how fond he is.
It's the first thing they put on Russian television.
Really?
It is propaganda for their people. Well, to say in America, they want this. This is America thinks that the Ukrainians are bad, so we'll murder them.
Well, they certainly have been running Tucker Carlson's pieces again. By most accounts, someone.
I really thought that if I had taken Russia's side, that the federal government would just come take my FCC license. I really believe that. Part of me having an FCC license in 1998 was I couldn't be Radio Free Havana. I couldn't overtly go on to the airwaves in the United States of America with a federal license and denigrate our government and praise Putin. It doesn't register to me that how Steve Bannon's not in prison. You know what I mean? Well, I don't understand that.
I was out to lunch yesterday with a good friend of ours, good friend of the show, Fronda Cohen, and she was talking about her husband having studied the art of propaganda in college and making the point, and we see it over and over again with Trump and the Trump loyalists, that the key to propaganda is once I make you believe that I am the only truth, then nothing else matters. And we see that over and over again. Like I'll use this student that I'm talking about. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, this student is very supportive of the American military, which I think we all are. He's a proud American, but has trouble identifying that Trump is on the wrong side of this by siding with a dictator who wants to reclaim a sovereign nation. He wants to put the Soviet Union back together. And what we've done, what we've created here, Nestor, is a group of folks. I don't know how many it is. I don't know if it's 25 or 30% of the American public. Probably about right. Probably any more, still 70% or so.
No, but you know, what you need to do is go out to Nebraska where it looks more like 80%. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the, there's pockets of the country outside of places that have beltways. Cause I was in New York the other day. Right. And you know, I'm in New York where the dear leader, you know, made all of his fortune fleecing people with his mafia, in New York. And, you know, I'm walking amongst black people, white people, old people, young people. None of these people believe Fox News, you know what I mean? Like in cities and in places where most of us have access to more information, there are places on the Eastern Shore where there's a Trump flag and a Confederate flag. Wow. And whatever is being said in the mainstream media or in places where they might be reporting the truth, they're tuned into OANN if they have the internet. I don't know what else to say. They're hearing what they want to hear. Yeah, I mean, and you know, Trump has managed to hump the flag enough to make these people think Putin's a good guy.
Well, I think it goes back to our friend Fronda Cohen's comment about if I can convince you that I am the only truth. It is the Goebbels stuff. People hate Nazi references, but it is that. But it is strange. Someone said the other day on one of the shows that some of this new wing of the Republican Party, the Josh Hawley part of the Republican Party, reminds them almost of Lindbergh and that movement back in the 20s and the 30s, the isolationist. You know, Hawley said, why should I care about Ukraine? Well, because we've got one nation trying to take over another nation, an undemocratic oligarchy trying to take over a fledgling democracy. So it's pretty horrific, and it will be fascinating. I don't know if there will be enough sanctions. I think it's interesting. I mean, Putin is a billionaire, so he could care less, as you pointed out early on, whether or not the people on the street have enough food to eat. I think the Russians, though, are not going to be happy with people coming back in body bags. I don't know what his exit strategy is. And, you know, short term, there's going to be some pain for Europeans and the American people, particularly in the area of energy prices. And we're going to have to see how much stomach the American public has for this when on the West Coast, in the very near future, they're likely to be paying $7 or $8 for a gallon of gas. On the East Coast, my guess is we'll be up to more than $4. It's going to have, you know, the stock market, as we came on the air today, plummeted. So people's 401ks took a hit. So I mean, there are all kinds of implications, and I guess, you know, that's as good a place to stop as any. Hey, one of the things before we jump off today is start this new segment. We're going to call it, Don's must-see list. I'm going to give Nestor a must-see list to stream or watch on TV every week. And this week, and boy, is it appropriate now. There is a 3-segment documentary on the History Channel on Abraham Lincoln that I'm telling everybody that I talk to, whatever you do, take the time to watch these 3 episodes on Abraham Lincoln. If you want a lesson in leadership when America was at its most perilous moment in its history, the Lincoln documentary is truly, truly remarkable. So this week on your must-see list, Abraham Lincoln on the History Channel. And Tom with Muller. That, we're yep. still not playing baseball, Nestor. Come on.
Well, we've got a McCartney show, right? So are you going to the McCartney show?
Sir Paul, I will be going to Sir Paul. I'm actually heading down to Maryland Hall in Annapolis in a week or so to see a tribute band do Revolver and Rubber Soul, 2 of my favorite Beatle albums.
Yeah, so I'm also a Revolver guy, too. I didn't know that about you.
I will also be Revolver and Rubber Soul, so I will be reporting back on that.
Well, you're an early Beatles guy, right? What year were you born? Give me your birthday year.
50. Oh, yeah, I was 14 when they came on the Ed Sullivan Show.
14, and you were watching that night, like everybody was.
I was absolutely can tell you exactly where I was. People have asked me, and it's fascinating. You mentioned, sir, I've seen McCartney twice.
I've had a couple of friends in my life that were at the Beatles show at the Civic Center, at the Royal Farms Arena, of course.
I know no one. And people have asked me repeatedly, can't believe you weren't there. And I say to them, it's a hell of a question. I don't know. It may have been a school day or a school night. My mother said, no way. Maybe I couldn't get tickets. Maybe they were too expensive. It does seem strange to me that my brother and I were not at the Civic Center to see the Beatles. I will tell you a quick funny story and we'll get out of here because we've got to go get to our friend Bill Zorzi. I encourage people today. We have Bill Zorzi coming on, former Sun reporter, Show Me a Hero, The Wire. We've got Justin Fenton coming on. We Own This City, about to come on HBO. So we got good stuff. But I will tell you a funny story, Nestor. We always like to tell Catholic school stories. So that weekend, the Beatles are on Ed Sullivan, right? I guess Sunday night, you know, it was when Ed was on. And we go back to school on Monday at St. Mark's. And all of the nuns, now none of us at that time, none of us had, when you look back at the Beatles.
What song really did they play? Long. They play I Want to Hold Your Hand, wasn't it?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Really, that
exactly.
was really controversial, right?
Their hair wasn't long, but you know.
They mop top, yeah.
So the nuns went
they
on
the rampage. They frightened white people, even though they were white.
Nuns went on the rampage that morning that none of you will be coming in here with those Beatle haircuts. And I thought, I wasn't even thinking about having a Beatle haircut, but. Okay, sister.
I want to be Ringo.
We won't be having any Beatle haircuts. So it was everywhere. It was all the rage, and it will be 79-year-old Paul McCartney. It will be great. It will be great for the city. The city will be electric that night. I mean, were you there when Billy Joel played there?
Yes, I was. Yeah. And I, Bill Cole and I did a segment earlier from Cole Roofing, and he said, don't you kind of have to go? Like, don't you have, right. I mean, it's like the Pope coming. It's like, you know, don't you have to kind of go, you know?
Nestor, I call it, I've been on my, I only half jokingly call it the See Them Before They're Gone tour. I've recently seen Paul Simon. I saw James Taylor. I saw Jackson Brown. I saw Streisand. Now I'm going to see Paul. I don't know how many more times they're going to, you know who I haven't seen? Oh, I've seen Billy Joel, obviously, but I think you'll be around a little longer. I have not seen.
We thought that about Tom Petty, by the way. So I just want to, like, when you say things like that, watch it, you know?
I have to work it out. I have to see Elton. I haven't seen Sir Elton.
Elton was playing in New York the last two nights. Why didn't you go?
That's what I'm saying. I have to make it happen because I'm not sure how much longer Elton's going to be doing it either. So See Them Before They're Gone tour. Yes, June the 12th, I will be there. Sir Paul can hit the high notes and maybe I'm amazed or not. One of my favorite. Oh, hey, last funny story about McCartney. So I forget when he played down in D.C. at the Nats Stadium. So a number of years ago, so Linda and I are getting out of the car. It shows you how old I am. And as we're getting out of the car, I hear a former student go, hey, Mr. Moeller. And I turn around. It's a former student. And he goes straight. He wasn't even kidding. He goes, man, I didn't know you were a fan of Wings. Well, I just burst right out laughing. He thought I was there to see Wings, you know, because that was his McCartney reference.
I'm all good with Live and Let Die and Jet and all that stuff too. Don Moser, I just want to say this as someone who lives now out in the county and living in Baltimore. So this is a very specific thing to Baltimore that we're so close to New York. And I know you go up for Broadway shows and you do your thing. I've had friends take the morning bus up to shop or see a Wednesday matinee or what. And I'll just say this. John Mayer was playing in New York. He's playing in Philly on Friday. I wanted to go. I didn't go. I wound up watching like a serious thing that happened in LA when I was out there at the Super Bowl. And I love John Mayer's music and I forgot how much I loved it. And I put it on. I'm like, I'm going to go. And then the New York thing happened. The ticket prices dipped. It was easier, cheaper for me to get on a bus and go to New York and get dropped off five blocks in Madison Square Garden and see when you see a show in New York, it's just different. No offense, I hate that hockey rink down in D.C. in a general sense. It's not a very good hockey rink. It's not a very good basketball rink. I like Chinatown. I don't mind driving down there. So I'm not an anti-D.C. or whatever. But it's going to cost me $30 or $40 to park, right? If I go down there, I'm going to be in the car an hour, 20 minutes down, whatever, an hour back, whatever it's going to be. Or I could just go literally sit in the bus, take a nap, take my phone, get some work done, take some paperwork done, get dropped off. And oh, by the way, get a meal anywhere I want in New York, or two meals in my case, a slice of pizza, and I got some delicious Asian food, and then go see John Mayer. I got on the 11:30 bus. And this might not be appealing to sit on a bus and crash, but I woke up at 3 a.m. at home, and I was with my cat at 3:15, and I went to New York for the night, and I had a New York dinner, and it cost me $45 on the bus round trip to do it. And I didn't have to pay to park. I didn't have tolls. I didn't have bridges. I'm going to do it more often. And if you would have told me on Wednesday, hey, I really want to see Elton, let's get on the 12:30 bus. We'll go up to New York. We'll be back at 3 a.m. We'll see Elton. Like, it would have been that easy.
I'm all in for that. Real quick, just what you said. I follow the flash sales on Amtrak. Linda and I are going next week to New York round trip. It was $76 for both of us. It was nice. $38 each round trip on the train.
You let me know when you see that flash sale, and I'll put together an Elton John night or night at the City Winery. Don Moeller, former Baltimore County executive. We call this thing the Recon. It's all brought to you by our friends at Wise Marks. We make the wise conversations happen around here. And don't forget, March 4th, we completely are going to redo. It's going to be like I never had a crab cake in my life. We're going to be down at Mama's on a Half Shell in Canton. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I am Nestor. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore, making it happen. Get the crab cake tour out on the road. Stay with us. We're Baltimore Positive.